This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for our weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Well, John, it's just last week we talked about the passing of syndicated columnist Robert Novak after a year-long battle with a brain tumor, and now the story is quite similar, although with an even more prominent figure this week in the political realm in the United States and throughout the world. Late Tuesday night, Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy succumbing in his battle with brain cancer at age 77. He's been a Washington institution really since his brother was elected president, holding a seat in the Senate longer than every other senator except two in American history. Your thoughts on his passing, even though obviously we knew this was coming?
Well, we did know this is coming. It is amazing to watch the tributes to Ted Kennedy. Some of us are old enough to remember him in his earlier days in the Senate when he seemed to be overshadowed, first by his brother, the president, and then by Robert Kennedy, who was attorney general and senator from New York and a presidential candidate at the time of his assassination in 1968. Edward McCormick, who was Ted Kennedy's primary opponent in 1962, may have said it best about the 30-year-old candidate. If your name were Edward Moore instead of Edward Moore Kennedy, your candidacy would be a joke. Well, we won't debate that. It was enough for him to get elected. I think you have to remember what we're calling the C word these days, Chappaquiddick. The death of a young campaign aide named Mary Jo Kopechne with Ted Kennedy driving did change him. From that point, he became less of a callow playboy and more someone who focused on the Senate. He did truly make an effort to run for president in 1980, skipping the candidacies in 72 and 76, but lost to President Jimmy Carter that year. It's very hard to take out an incumbent president. Since then, his complete focus has been on old New Deal-type legislation for the 21st century, whether the issue is labor reform or, more recently, health care. Kennedy's imprints are on it. He was a charming man for all who knew him, and in spite of some black marks on his past, ranging from drinking, a divorce, the death of Mary Jo Kopechne, some wild incidents at Washington restaurants, he was generally loved by colleagues, and that's what we're seeing in the media.
John, you would know this historical tidbit, if anyone does. 1976 was considered almost a gimme for Democrats following Watergate. There was a huge field. Why did Ted Kennedy not get in that year?
Chappaquiddick, you were only 7 years removed from the incident, and he passed on it. And what is amazing is that so many other people did pass on the race, and the Democrats went to their B team. I personally thought Senator Jackson of Washington State would win, but instead it went to the young former governor of Georgia, the little-known Jimmy Carter, who organized early and outworked everyone. Kennedy could have had the nomination for the asking, might well have beaten a wounded President Gerald Ford, but it certainly seemed uncertain. And remember, Carter was a difficult opponent for Ford because he was relatively obscure, had only one term in office. Kennedy, with Chappaquiddick and a long record in the Senate, might have been easier to target and criticize.
But we'll never know, obviously, since that didn't turn out that way. But, John, it's considered by some unseemly to talk about this next subject. Well, we haven't even gotten to the funeral services yet, but many Massachusetts politicians, knowing the senator's condition over the past several months, have been positioning themselves for a potential run in a special election for his seat. Obviously, the entire House delegation from Massachusetts is Democratic. You've got a couple of Kennedys speculated about. How do you handicap the field here in filling this seat that's open for the first time since 1962?
Well, first of all, I don't think that it's unseemly to talk about it, since Senator Kennedy himself just last week wrote legislators urging them to change the five-year-old law that denies the governor of the state the power to appoint a stopgap senator until the next special election. Kennedy himself benefited from that when the then governor of Massachusetts in 1960, Foster Furcolow, appointed a family friend, Benjamin Smith, to fill the seat until Ted reached the constitutional age of 30 and was able to run in 1962. In 04, Democratic legislators fearing John Kerry would be elected president and Republican Governor Mitt Romney would fill the seat with someone from his party, removed that power and called for the snap election that, as of today, is the law in Massachusetts. My guess is it's going to be a reach and perceived as too self-serving to change it. As for candidates, I'm saying all the House members from the Bay State, with the exception of the very senior Barney Frank and Nikki Tsongas, are probably exploring the race as they pay tribute to Senator Kennedy. In addition, members of the family are mentioned. I don't believe his widow Vicky will run. As one family friend said, there was only one Senator Kennedy for her. Nephew Joe might be a possibility, but he's been out of politics a long time. There's even talk of former Governor Mike Dukakis coming back, meaning any Democrat can run. This means that for the first time since 1978, a Republican could be in the Senate for Massachusetts if they have a formidable candidate who can raise money. We'll know soon enough. This has to be decided by January.
John, it had been speculated about for weeks and even months, and it took about 12 hours for the Democrats to actually do this. And that's their push now to pass health care reform legislation, their version of it with the public option and so forth, in honor of Ted Kennedy. Do you expect that to be a major momentum for their brand of health care reform, or will that give way to public demands that their health care system be good no matter what they think of Ted Kennedy?
I think public opinion is so mobilized against public option and against a greater government hand in this that it will be very hard for that kind of program to see the light of day. And remember, Ted Kennedy missed 97% of the votes in the Senate last year. He was not present during the health care debate. I don't see how his passing and perhaps naming a health care bill after him can accelerate it, when the man that's being called the Lion of the Senate could not move it from his deathbed or even when he was healthy and on the Senate floor. My guess is that this does not change the health care debate, and it'll be dead on arrival.
John, a couple more topics before we let you go. Number one, Eric Holder, the Attorney General this week, releasing the CIA Inspector General's report. Also launching a preliminary inquiry into the conduct of some interrogators and contractors throughout the first years of the war on terror. Republicans are saying this is the worst possible thing you can do during a time of war. Democrats and their allies saying you have to make sure that we're abiding by the standards of the Geneva Conventions and so forth, and that America needs to hold itself to a higher standard. How do you read all this?
My guess is that Republicans are going to do their utmost to stop this kind of an investigation, but it will go on. John Durham of Connecticut, a special prosecutor, has been named to investigate the CIA and their enhanced interrogation techniques. It's going to happen. It's going to upset a lot of people and a lot of names, many of whom you and I know are going to be dragged through the mud in this. But in the end, they are going to find out the Geneva Convention does not apply to individuals rather than nations, and that there were no violations of the law. Maybe in the spirit of the law, it will certainly look bad, but I am predicting here and now no one will be prosecuted and no one will go to jail because of serving their country as they saw fit.
John, real quickly, two countries with one election done, one coming up. Let's start with the one that was just completed in Afghanistan. Lots of allegations of fraud. Will the winner, whoever it is, Abdullah Abdullah or the incumbent Hamid Karzai, be recognized by the bulk of the Afghan population?
Well, right now, there's more than a few brave souls who are predicting with a straight face we're going to hear about hanging chads in Kabul. It will be very difficult for the winner to operate, but it will also be a test of the democratic system in Afghanistan to see, rather like the United States and later Mexico, it survives a contested election and its leader goes on. My guess is that either President Karzai, already a controversial figure in some eyes, or Mr. Abdullah, the former foreign minister, will go on in this direction, if for no other reason than either of both of them will have the confidence of the Obama administration and of General McChrystal.
Last issue. I know you follow international elections closely. What's going on in Japan?
Revolution. The newly formed, newly cobbled together Democratic Party is headed not only for a defeat of the Liberal Democratic Party, which has ruled Japan for all but a few months for the last half century, but a landslide. My contacts tell me in Tokyo that more than 300 of the 380 seats in the parliament will go to the new DPK. Now, you say, who cares? Who can even remember the last prime minister of Japan? And Mr. Hatoyama coming in is a disgruntled former member of the LDP. On the other hand, there will be some serious questions involving the United States, whether the refilling of tankers on the way to Afghanistan will continue under the DPK, officially against it, whether they'll pursue missile defense, and just what overall relations will be between the United States, which is, in a rare case, dealing with the unknown in Tokyo.
John, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. Great, as always, to have you with us.
Sayonara, and look forward to being here again.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.